Good morning.
Morning.
My name's Ryan Wade. I'm from Somerville, Alabama, and I work for a company in Hartsville called Profab Machine, where I get to drive a truck. And I'm able to have the honor and privilege to attend Desperation Church at our ARAB campus. At ARAB, I'm able to serve on the parking lot team. I'm able to lead rallies, and I'm also able to help facilitate with Connect Class. My Desperation Church story actually begins in 2010 in Atlanta, Georgia, at Passion Worship Conference. It was there I heard Pastor Louis Giglio speak, and he quoted a scripture that God just instantaneously burned onto my heart. And for the next few years, I would continually be brought back over and over again to this verse. So fast forward a few years, I've graduated college and done what everybody in my generation does, which is move on back home with their parents because they have free food. I'm working, but I'm not doing what I feel like I'm called to do. I have a church home, but I'm not as involved in it as I feel like I should be. And I really just feel like my wheels are just spinning. And I'm continually being brought back to this same verse over and over again, whether it's through podcasts that I'm listening to or sermons that I'm hearing or just my daily Bible study. So in spring of 2016, a friend of mine from work named Jared Latham invited me to ARAB's launch day. And he knew I had a church home, but I thought, well, I'll go because I need people in the seats. I had some friends that go to church there. And I'll see some people I haven't seen in a while. And so a couple of days after I said that I would go, I felt God stir my spirit in a way that I knew there was going to be something that I needed to pay attention to. So launch Sunday comes, and I show up, and I'm greeted by people I know, you know, just like I'm family. And I'm greeted by people that I don't know, just like I'm family. And I come in, and I sit down, and I look up on the screen, and there's that verse again. And to be honest with you, I kind of rolled my eyes. I was a little frustrated by it. I thought, well, here we go again. I'm going to go home. I'm going to read this verse again. I've read it backwards and forwards. And I'm going to again be wondering why it is that God keeps bringing this verse back to me. And then Pastor Andy got up, and he began to preach and talk about how where desperation was founded out of. And he quoted the chapter and verse that desperation was founded out of, which is Isaiah 61. Which was the verse that Louis Giglio had talked about in Atlanta 6 years before then. And God just struck a chord in my heart, and I knew that this is where I was supposed to be. So for the next year, I began to buy into the vision that is Desperation Church and the vision they have for the people that they serve in their communities. And I would see the heart they have for the people that they have no connection to, the people who are displaced by hurricanes in Houston and Florida. And I began to understand that if I gave of my time and my money to this place, that God would multiply it in a way that I couldn't on my own. And I wanted to be more and more part of that. So I went through Connect Class. I was able to start serving on the parking team. I was asked to lead rallies. And then I was asked to help facilitate Connect Class so that other people could find their place to belong and their places to serve. And then a year and a half later, I would apply for and be accepted to Desperation College. And in the last few months, God's grown me in a way that not only did I not expect, but I had definitely not planned for. And so 7 years ago, God burned a scripture into my heart to be used in a place that didn't even exist at that time. And that place is Desperation Church. My heart is for this house, and I cannot betray my heart.
What's up? How's everybody doing today? Everybody feel like they need to go run a mile or two tomorrow from all the Thanksgiving stuff? stuffing, which that's northern. We are dressing, don't we? Do we dress in here? They do stuffing there. Dressing is so much better than stuffing. Who's a stuffing people? Anybody like stuffing? Okay, you're from the north in Jesus' name. Who likes dressing? Throw your hands up. Come on, welcome to the south. Glad you're here. Good to see you. Hey, listen, I like going to Moe's Southwest. They got northern tea and southern tea. I don't know if y'all ever noticed that. Like, I like the southern. Listen, I'm fired up about today. Today's going to be a little bit different. Hey, by the way, before we start, can we give it up for Ryan coming up here and sharing? Listen, I hope that you guys have enjoyed listening to all these different people's stories and stuff about how they got connected with our church and stuff. And a lot of you guys got your own stories, but it's been fun for me getting to meet people from other campuses and stuff and hearing their stories. It's just a blast. And it's a lot of times I sit back here with a knot in my throat. It just kind of makes me choke up. Anyway, getting back to where we was at. Today's going to be a little bit different. Right? It's going to be not your typical Sunday in the area of sharing like this three-point sermon. But basically, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are going to change a little bit. Just a few little changes that's going to take place from now on with a lot of finances with our church, okay? And when I say a lot, with just some of the things that's gonna be different. And so we wanted to share that with you. Now, if you came to Vision Night, you heard some of this, okay? A lot of what we're gonna say today is some things that we said at Vision Night. There's gonna be some things that we say that's a little bit different, and then there's gonna be some things that is gonna be just like what we said. And so if you came, you get to hear it again. But we really feel like we want the whole entire church to see what direction we're going financially, because what we believe is that we believe that God has called us he's given us a vision for our church, and he has called us to move in this vision. And one thing that God continues to remind me, and y'all hear me say it on a regular basis, that our life is incredibly short, okay? Our life is incredibly short. And that I really believe that what God's doing right now is accelerating the vision of what God wants to do. And honestly, it's going to take every one of us to accelerate what God wants to do. And so I don't understand God in a lot of ways. There's a lot of mysteries with God. And one of them is the whole money thing, all right? Can we share the gospel? Can we be effective with the gospel without finances? Yes. Y'all can leave church today, go knock on doors, and tell them about Jesus if you want to, okay? Now, some people are going to be mad at you. Just going to give you a heads up if you try that, because they're probably trying to eat their roast beef and mashed potatoes and you interrupting dinner. But there's going to be other people like, hey, how you doing? Glad you came. But the big picture is, yes, we can do it. But to be honest with you, to be more effective, it's amazing how God has to use finances to move the gospel. All right? I think about, we've got a team today, and you're going to hear a little bit about this. Not the team, but, you know, Nepal. We're going to give you some stuff here in just a second. We got a team leaving for Nepal. All right? They're leaving this week, and it's an unreached people group. It's people that's never heard the gospel. They're going to be trekking through the Himalayas. All right? About 9 men from our church are going up into the mountains. And to get there, it costs a lot of money to get there. So they've had to raise money so that we can go and share the gospel. And so what I'm getting to is, it doesn't make a lot of sense a lot of times. Like, God, why does it take money to move the gospel? But I think what it is that God has called us to walk by faith. And he wants to use money to help move the church in the direction that he's called it to go. And he uses finances to do that. Because when we start giving, like what we talked about the last several weeks with generosity, it increases and builds our faith. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're just going to share with you some things that we've done together as a team. All right? We got our, by the way, I don't know if you really understand. You probably don't understand, but I'm with them every single day. We've got, in my opinion, I'm a little prejudiced, but we got one of the greatest staffs in all of the nations. All right? We are incredibly blessed with the staff that we have on our team. There are just freaks of nature in a good way. Okay? They are great at what they do. And so we've sat down and we've brainstormed and we've traveled different places. We've sat down with different people. We've studied. We've looked at different things. We've put lots of hours into these last several weeks, okay? And into what we're calling Heart for the House. Lots of studies to try to figure out, hey, what can we do with our people in the area of moving the vision, moving what God's called us to do, but not make it feel like, man, we're putting pressure on you. I think most of you who's been coming to church for a long time know that we really, honestly, don't talk about money a whole lot. And there's reasons for that, because we're trying to reach unchurched people, and unchurched people a lot of times have these thought processes that all the churches want is my money. So if you're here today and this is your first time and somebody invited you to church and I am helping you out with your argument, well, you need to keep on coming, all right? Because we don't talk about it all the time, but today we are, all right? And so understand and realize that basically we have studied, we have looked at different things, and so what we believe is if we will all do our part just a little bit, it's amazing what we can do with a lot. I mean, with a little bit, God will do a lot, all right? And so we're going to challenge you in some ways. Now, here's what's coming up, all right? This is what's going to happen from here on out. I wish we'd have done this years ago, okay? Years ago, I wish we'd have done this, but we're 7 years in, and this is where apparently God wanted to start it with us, all right? So here's what's going to start taking place every single year. The second week of December, we're going to be given an above our tithe offering, all right? I told everybody last week, and I said this at Vision Night, the Baptist world where I came from calls it a sacrificial offering. We're getting above our tithe, and we're going to do it by faith, and it's a sacrificial offering. My sister was from the Pentecostal world, so I went to her church a lot too. And so the Pentecostal world calls it a miracle offering, all right? And so we want to give a miracle offering, and bless God, God's going to bless us, and miracles are going to happen. And so then, you know, we're non-denominational, so we figured that we would just call it a sack of miracle offering, okay? And so we're gonna get a little bit of both. We just kind of dive it in and getting it together, all right? So we're gonna call it a sack of miracle offering. So if you want to call it a miracle, then give you a miracle. If you want to call it a sacrificial, give it sacrificially. Whatever you want to do, it's above your tithe. And we really want you to pray about what God would have you do on December the 10th. And this is for our vision offering. This is to move us forward in our church, okay? Now listen, our general budget has done a lot. You need to come next week and you're going to hear a lot of things that we've done with our general budget through 2017. I think a lot of you are going to be blown away with some of the numbers that we're going to throw out there that you guys have blessed Desperation Church with, and more than that, the kingdom of God with, you, because you tithe. But I really believe that God's calling us to do more. And so we're in a season now where God's calling us to do more. And so That's what this big offer is going to be about. It's going to be the second week of December from now on, all right? So starting December the 17th, you're going to start seeing different tithe envelopes in your chairs, all right? A little bit more colorful, got some red in them, all right? And so here's the big picture. You're going to see different envelopes, and our Heart for the House, this is going to be called our Heart for the House offerings, or Heart for the House funds, however you want to call it. But basically, you're going to see four lines. It says tithe and offerings, building and campuses, missions, and college and leadership. What we're going to ask you to do, and you're going to hear me say this again before the day's over with, because I want you to get this. We're going to ask you to give your tithe and offerings, and you can do this online also. If you don't do it through the tithe envelopes, you can do this online also. But we're going to ask everybody to give a little bit above their tithe to the lanes that God has moved in our spirit with to help accelerate the vision that God's given us, all right? And so it's a big deal, all right? It's amazing how just a little bit, you know, a lot of you remember I challenged all of you to give $1. You remember, I challenged you to give $1. And so we all gave $1 and we took $2,500 over to Twilight School, and it was an incredible blessing. And listen, that was just $1. And so we're challenging you to do something small, but when we all do it together, it's going to be something large and we can do a lot. So listen, I'm going to talk more about that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me read you some scripture really, really quick, okay? Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 9. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns, verse 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns, villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Now, let me share with you real quick about what's taking place in the context. All right, well, what's taking place with Jesus? Jesus is probably where he's at in this text right here. He is in the religious center. He's in the most religious area of all, okay? So I need you to understand that before I dive into the rest of the text, okay? And also, we're right in the middle of him, you know, coming into this very, very religious area. The other thing I need you to see with the text is it's amazing how Jesus always meets needs and he parallels it with the gospel at all times, all right? So he shares the gospel and meets needs. It's amazing when we begin to meet needs, how people are a lot more open to hearing the gospel, which is the end result, which is the main result we want people to have, is to have eternal hope in Jesus, okay? And so when you meet needs, it's easier to build bridges to give people the gospel. So here's Jesus traveling through an incredibly religious area, and he goes on to say, and he healed, he gave them the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease, meeting needs and illnesses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that Jesus is in the religious hub. He's in the center, but yet the people were hopeless. There was something missing there. And you know, there's something about that verse that resonates with me because I know our calling. Our calling at Desperation Church is this, okay? Is, you know, I tell everybody this, and if you've been here for any amount of time, you've probably heard me say this before. I think about churches like Church of the Highlands, which is a phenomenal church, huge, massive, large church. I say Church of the Highlands, churches like that are the Targets and Walmarts of the world. Desperation Church is the Dollar Generals, all right? We're the little church, and we're going to go to the little towns where there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of places that's not like us, and little towns all over the place that aren't like us. That's our calling. And our main calling is to help people get set free from religion. Now listen, there are phenomenal churches around us that are helping people every day, just like we are, get set free from religion. But the big picture is that there are in our communities people who have this idea of God that's really, really jacked up, all right? It's really, I mean, even just this week, it's amazing the amount of people I talk to who says, I can't come to church because, man, I just don't feel like I'm worthy enough to come to church. And I would say, guess what? You're not, but Jesus. Because of Jesus, you have the right to walk with God, right? To come to church. It's amazing how many people have this really jacked up view of God, that God is against them more than he is for them. And our drive, our passion is to help those people get set free and walk in the true relationship that God meant through Jesus to have a relationship with the Father the right way. There's a reason why it's called good news. Anything that doesn't sound good probably isn't the gospel, because the gospel produces good news. And so, that's what we're here for. That's what we're called to. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe that there's a great possibility that preachers preach it wrong, and then there's people that hear wrong. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't know which one it is, but I believe that there's a great possibility, even in this room right here, how many people this morning woke up with 500 pounds of condemnation on you that God wants to set you free from. He didn't call you to walk in that, because if you walk in condemnation, then guess what's going to happen? You aren't going to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. And that's where the enemy wants you to walk in. So y'all got me preaching now. This ain't supposed to be a day of preaching. This is supposed to be a day of vision. All right? And so that is our vision. Our vision is to help people get set free and understand and discover the beauty of who Jesus is, to take their ashes and make them beautiful, to take what's shattered and broken in their life and make them a mosaic. Not us, Jesus. All right? And so we're all broken. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you. All right? And so that's our calling. That's who we are. And so we want to meet the needs of people to be able to give them the good news. And so the way we're going to do that, we have three different lanes. We have missions locally, globally, and nationally. We have our college, and then we have buildings and campuses. And so here's the big picture. Here's what we're going to do right now, all right? Oh, by the way, December the 10th. I didn't say this last service. I wish I'd have said it. I'm going to say it this service, all right? December the 10th, a really great mentor, friend of mine that I love. His name is Greg Surratt. He is the president of ARC Churches. You're going to hear a little bit about ARC here in just a minute. It's a church planting ministry. He's going to be here to speak that day, and you do not want to miss this cat. He is hilarious. He is full of wisdom. He is sharp. He is a pastor. Pastor of Seacoast Church in Charleston, South Carolina, about 20,000 people, just a real small church. Listen, and so you need to come, and I'm telling you, he's phenomenal. You need to be here December the 10th, and that's the day that we're giving. I can't wait for him to come, because you're going to love this guy, all right? Now that I said that, you're going to love this guy also, and I need you giving him some amens. The first service, it looked like a calf at a calf looking at a new gate, like they just stared at him, and so we're going to fix that, all right? I got, there's a place where I just told you about the lanes, but we have details with those lanes that I really need you guys to grab hold of. I am not a detailed person. I know that shocks some of you, all right? But my wife will tell you, I'm not the most detailed person in the world. I'm more of a guy that's a rah-rah-ree, and we're talking about spirit fingers, and come on, let's go take on hell with a water pistol, and man, we're going to give them Jesus. Let's go, all right? And so that's me. But part of our team is very detailed. And so the detailed people handed me a pamphlet of what I needed to say to you guys. And I was like, oh, dear Lord Jesus. It was like 48 pages. And I'm like, we'll be here for 5 hours if I do. There's no way I can do this. And so I'm like, I'm hoping I'm sick on that day. All right? Like, there's no way I can do this. And so I looked at Cody Miller, who is on our team, who is phenomenal. I said, hey, I want you to share the details. And so, okay. And so he's going to take two of these lanes, and he's going to share the details of what's in this lane. Here's what I need you to do. I need you like amening and clapping and giving him some feedback, because don't you, because it's scary. Y'all don't understand what it's like to stand here and y'all looking at us like zombies, like, what are you talking about? I'm just, all I can tell myself the whole entire time is this: the Holy Spirit, he's just convicting the fire out of them and God is moving. But in reality, you're probably thinking about football, and you're probably thinking about like, I can't wait for dinner, or you're thinking about like, preach it, Brother Andy, but you're silent on the inside. I don't know what you're doing, but today be out loud, be vocal, give him some heads up, all right? But here's the big picture. Cody's gonna come share with you some lanes that we're gonna walk in, and you need to be here next week. If you're interested in seeing what our future building's gonna look like, you need to be here next week, because it's gonna be absolutely incredible, and I can't wait. I wanna make sure I get that out there. So can y'all please give it up for Cody Miller? Give it up for Cody. Come on. Knock it out, brother. You got it, baby.
All right, after Pastor Andy's introduction, are you guys ready for this? All right. So today I'm going to get to share with you guys just an overview of our Heart for the House strategy and how we as a church can basically come together and accelerate the vision, accelerate what we're able to do well above our tithes and offering. And so I have the opportunity to share with you some of the details of the impact lanes that Pastor Andy mentioned. So the definition of the word impact, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, impact means to come forcibly into contact with someone or something and to have a strong effect. So impact lanes are basically areas where, as a church, we want to have a strong effect. They're areas of focus for us as Desperation Church so that we can be strategic in the way that we advance the kingdom of God and accelerate the vision of Desperation Church. So at the end of today's message, Pastor Andy is going to share with us some of the ways that we can be strategic with our generosity through the upcoming giving opportunities. As I share these impact lanes this morning, I believe that the Lord is going to speak directly to some of you guys. And you'll know that it's the Lord speaking because the lanes that I'll share is going to grab your heart. The lanes will become your heart for our house. So listen as I share the first impact lane, missions. And you guys really are changing the world through the way that you give and your tithes and offerings in the area of missions. But what if we could accelerate that pace? I believe that there is more that we can do together. So I want to tell you about a few of the opportunities we have to make an impact locally, nationally, and globally. Locally, there are needs all around us, right here in our own backyard. For instance, in the counties we serve, Coleman, Walker, and Marshall counties, a large number of children would not be able to eat lunch at school if it weren't for programs like the free and reduced lunch that's offered. If students need that kind of assistance to eat lunch at school, what does that say about what they're getting to eat at home, or even if they're getting to eat at home? Our schools, we believe, are doing a great job with what they have. The meals that students get at school may very well be the only nutritious or quality meal that they get that day. So we began reaching out to our local schools and our local school boards to learn more. And one of the things that we realized and discovered was that it's difficult to be successful in school when your biggest concern is, where is my next meal coming from? And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to be too interested in math homework when I haven't gotten to eat dinner. According to data that was made available to us through the Alabama State Department of Education, and confirmed through the local school boards. In the 2016-2017 school year, we found out that 58% of students in Cullman County receive assistance to eat lunch at school through those free and reduced lunch programs. In Walker County, 63% of students need help to eat lunch at school. And in Marshall County, that number jumps to 74% of our kids that need assistance to eat lunch at school. What if kids in our area didn't have to worry about food? And what if when they went home on the weekends, they didn't have to wait until Monday to get back to school to get something good to eat? And what if over Thanksgiving break and over Christmas break, when they went home, there was food in their cabinets? And I don't even want to think about what's happening all summer long. But your generosity through the missions lane will allow us to work with, to partner with local schools to provide food for children so that they could take it home when they needed it. And when you give through the missions lane, you're making a huge impact in the lives of local children, and they'll be able to eat because of your generosity. So in addition to supporting local schools, we know that addiction is a disease that plagues our cities, and not many of us are immune from its effects on our friends, our family, our loved ones. According to a 2014 SAMHSA report, and that's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, Alabama ranks second nationally for teens and adults over the age of 12 who use painkillers and prescription drugs that were not prescribed to them. Imagine for just a minute if addiction didn't exist in our counties. How would that change things like life expectancy, like health, like our economy, like our families? Imagine if our communities that have been ravaged by drugs were freed from addiction and they were rebuilt, revived, and restored in Jesus' name. And I believe that we can practically be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we can offer the practical coping skills, job skills, and life skills that are needed to live a life of freedom. But the truth is, freedom isn't free. The biggest challenge on the road to recovery is often just the initial entry fees into rehabilitation facilities. Giving through the missions lane, we can create a scholarship fund that we can use to eliminate that initial barrier on the road to recovery, and we can establish a scholarship fund to provide rehab entry fees through the missions lane. Desperation Church has a reputation for local missions, but what you may not know are some of the ways that we're at work nationally. And you heard Pastor Andy mention ARC, and that's the Association of Related Churches. And through your tithes and offering, we're able to partner with ARC and plant life-giving churches just like Desperation Church all across the United States. And we believe where the church exists, there's hope. And together with ARC in 2017, we've launched 120 life-giving churches all across the U.S. Yeah. At those 120 churches, we've seen 28,000 people attend launch day services, and we've seen over 1,000 people make decisions to follow Jesus on launch Sunday at the churches we planted. All across the U.S., though, there are 200,000 churches that are either stagnant or in decline. Around 4,000 of those churches will close their doors this year. But through ARC, over the last 5 years, we've planted 733 new life-giving churches, and 90% of those churches we've planted are still growing and still thriving today. So in the history of ARC, we've planted 733 churches. But what if we accelerated this? What if we gave more? There are cities that are still waiting to be reached, and there are lives that are still waiting to be changed. And when we give through the missions lane, we can plant more life-giving churches just like Desperation all across the U.S. And second, there's A21. Did you know that modern-day slavery still exists? Forced labor and sex trafficking hold victims in bondage, not only across the globe, but right here in the United States. So that's why we've chosen to partner with A21. They are the abolitionists of the 21st century. They're a nonprofit with the radical hope that human beings everywhere will be rescued from bondage and completely restored. And this hits close to home. The statistics tell us that 41% of sex trafficking victims are United States citizens. According to the State Department, it's most commonly seen in industries like strip clubs, agriculture, and domestic services. It gets even closer to home when a 2017 report reveals 36 cases of human trafficking right here in Alabama. And that's almost this entire section of people that are lost in some form of slavery, some form of bondage. Information that was provided by the University of Alabama shows us that Interstate 20 that passes through Birmingham is one of the most trafficked thoroughfares in the United States. And those statistics, those numbers can be overwhelming and they can be numbing almost. But our heart, through Heart for the House, through the missions lane, our heart is for the one. It's for the one woman, the one man, the one child who is currently trapped, who is exploited, who cannot see an end in sight. But our heart, through the missions lane, is to fight for the one. It's to rescue the one. It's to give them the chance at a better life, at a new story. And so when you give through the missions lane, A21 is able to provide things like clothes, like transportation, like shelter, like counseling services for people who have been rescued from trafficking. I want you guys to see firsthand how A21 is making an impact. Check out this video.
He made the comment to me about, you know, I can help you get clean. You can go with one of my girls to Chicago, just go get clean, and then you can come home, just start new. So we were in Chicago for a little while and I got clean, and then we went back to Myrtle Beach. Well, while we were waiting for my luggage to get there, the girl that I was in Chicago with, he brutally beat her in front of me because he said that she was eavesdropping on our conversation, and it literally put the fear of God in me. He informed me that if I ran off and left him, he would hunt me down and murder me and murder my family. I was so terrified of this man. I mean, if he said jump, I'd say how high. He said that I had the personality to bring girls home to him and that they trusted me because I looked like an all-American white girl. And he turned on an iron that you iron your clothes with, and he said that he was gonna beat me in the face with it if I didn't tell him why there was not a girl in his kitchen, why I didn't bring someone home for him that night. There were certain rules that we had to follow. We had to try to make over $1,000 a night for him. We weren't allowed to have cell phones. We weren't allowed to go home. If we wanted to call home, we had to be in the room with him. He forced me to have 2 abortions, and I had no choice whatsoever. And that was probably the hardest. I constantly did play out scenarios of how I could get away from him. Pimps, when we were in Houston, Texas, were getting arrested left and right. And I'm like, why can't they get arrested? Like, why can't they get us? Like, please, someone come get us. After years of going through everything that I went through, I was just at the point where I wanted to die. I thought about it and I was like, well, if I'm gonna die, I might as well go home. So I took $300 from his main girl's, his bottom girl's wallet, and I stole her cell phone, and I ran down 3 flights of stairs and hopped into a car with a guy that was backing out of the hotel room. I called my mom and I told her what was going on, and I was like, I'm coming home. And she called the police for me, and the police came and escorted me to the airport. I felt like I was a charity. And then when I met A21, they just made me feel like I was one of them, you know? They helped me out, and what they're doing to try to put an end to human trafficking is absolutely remarkable.
When you give through the missions lane, you're offering girls just like Nicole a chance at a brand new start, a chance at a life of freedom. And people like her are waiting. They're waiting to be rescued. Giving in the freedom in the missions lane produces freedom on so many levels. And we're working to not only reduce the number of victims, but also to reduce the demand. The final component of our missions lane is our global impact. And I want you guys for just a minute to think about all of the ways that the Bible has impacted your life. In an obvious way, in an overwhelming way, the Bible has provided us the revelation of who Jesus is, and it's thanks to Scripture that we have access to the transforming power of Jesus and his message of salvation. But it's more than that. I don't know about you, but I couldn't have survived the disappointments of my life if it weren't for Scripture. Imagine what it would have been like to have lost a friend or a family member without the promise of the resurrection. Imagine losing a job or losing your way, losing your health, losing your finances without a promise to claim, without hope from Scripture. You know, before Jesus left, he told us that he was doing something pretty significant. He said that he was building his church, and he invited us to be a part of what he was doing. He said things like, go and tell. He said, go and make disciples. He revealed his heart to us in the book of Revelation when we see that picture of people from every nation, from every tribe, from every language that are all gathered around the throne of God. But here we are, 2,000 years after Jesus walked this earth, and there are still those who have never heard his name. They haven't read a single life-giving word of Scripture, and they've never heard the message of hope. Our world is pretty diverse. There are over 7,000 spoken languages in existence today. That's English and Spanish and Farsi and Mandarin and literally thousands of other languages. Of those 7,000 languages, 1,600 languages, it represents 300 million people, still have no written scripture in their own language. They have no written word of God. They have no access to Jesus, and they have no Bible of their own. They are still waiting. So let's speed it up. We don't want them to have to wait another day without the life-giving hope of Jesus. And for the first time in history, we now know the names of the people groups with no missionary, with no church, and with no scripture. And so through a partnership with the Seed Company, we're providing scripture translations for those who don't yet have one. We're providing a scripture translation for a group of people who live across India, Nepal, and Bangladesh. And our partnership is going to allow us to work with local churches, to work with experts, to work with translators, to fund portions of the New Testament and the Jesus film. That's when it's finished, we'll be able to reach over 2.4 million people. So when you give through the missions lane, people are getting access to the words of Jesus. And that's the sort of impact that you'll make through the missions lane. I'd like to transition and share with you what investing in our second lane, Desperation College, looks like. Desperation College is our second impact lane. And the truth is, if we want to change the world through missions, if we want to plant new campuses and reach new cities, if we want to advance the kingdom of God, or if we want to make an impact in a meaningful way, it's going to take a lot more than excitement. We have a responsibility to produce leaders. So through Desperation College, we will be releasing the next wave of leaders who will enhance not only Desperation Church, but who will advance the kingdom of God. The leadership skills and the practical ministry training that they receive through Desperation College is going to allow men and women to step confidently and boldly into that future and into the calling that God has placed on their lives. And through a partnership with Portland Bible College, our students are able to receive solid biblical teaching as well as hands-on ministry training, practical experience that they can use to enhance their skills in the marketplace and in the ministry. You know, an alarming number of pastors and church leaders leave ministry behind every year, and often it's because they weren't prepared. The excitement faded and the reality set in of what ministry was really like. But our college is raising up world-class leaders who not only have head knowledge, but who have that practical experience and hands-on training they need to be effective in the church. Our college began last year, and we're already up to 22 students this semester. To give you an idea, our traditional program cost around $1,875 a semester, and our evening program cost around $575 a semester. When you give through the Desperation College lane, you are equipping future pastors, future teachers, future worship leaders, future business owners, future kingdom builders. And when you give through that college lane, your generosity allows us to offer scholarships, to employ faculty, to provide the technology and the facilities that we need to effectively train and resource the students that God has trusted us with. And when you give, you're a part of raising up that next generation of leadership. And I believe you're a part of the revival that's sweeping across our nation that will one day be written about in the history books. So I don't know about you, but I am excited about this Heart for the House season of generosity and the impact that we can make in the missions lane and in the Desperation College lane, I believe is limitless. And so Pastor Andy is going to come back, and I want you guys to listen as he shares how we can be intentional in our giving.
Come on, come on. Thanks. Come on, I told you he's a lot more detailed than I am. Hey, listen, I need you to understand how large this is. This is gigantic. You know, I know that there are people here who have, like, everybody's passionate about that. Everybody here is passionate about something, all right? I say everybody's got their own babies, all right? Everybody's got what they're passionate about. And some of you might be thinking, boy, I wish we would do this, or I wish we would do that, or I wish we could do this here as a church. And I'll be honest with you, I wish we could too. But, you know, we're one church, but there's other churches around us that I'm hoping and praying that inside their church, they're taking care of the areas that maybe you're passionate about. But through prayer, through a team effort, through seeking the Lord, these are the areas we feel like we're supposed to start out with. And whenever we start moving in these areas, prayerfully, God's going to give us more areas that we can start blessing and start moving in and start doing some different things. So these are the areas locally, nationally, globally that we're going to start with mission-wise. And then our Desperation College, listen, you know, in this text that I read to you earlier, it says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Listen, number one, if you're here today and you're a believer, you should be a worker inside his field. I mean, it's your job to go out and carry the gospel to the nations just as much as it is ours. And what we're praying is we're raising up leaders inside our college to go out, and their job is to raise up people just like you. Their job isn't just to be a solo, be a Rambo out there by themselves trying to share the gospel. They should be doing that on their own, but yes, they're going around discipling people, helping them grow in their faith also. So the college is gigantic living out this verse because the harvest is ripe. How many of you in Coleman, Alabama, or if you're Jasper or Arab or wherever you're from, how many of you know somebody who is unchurched, who does not know Christ or whatever, just prodigals, throw your hands up in the air. Where you at, all right? We in a religious area. I mean, we religious here. I mean, we got it going on. There's two churches on every corner, all right, in Coleman, Alabama. Y'all know what I'm saying. Listen, and everybody in here just raise their hand. You know what? That means that we've got work to do for the kingdom of God. When I say work always sounds negative. I'm saying we're walking by faith with Jesus, that God, you use us to do the work of the kingdom. That through my faith, that my works will come alive. And God, be used for your glory and for your honor. And so listen, it takes all of us together. I can't say it enough. The model of most churches is, hey, it's the staff's job to do everything. No, it's not. My job is to equip you and us do it together. That comes financially, that comes with your talents, that comes with your gifts, that comes with your time, that comes with all of us together. When we do it together, we can be more impactful for the kingdom of God. And so what we're doing is that during this season of our life, from now on, you're gonna start hearing a lot more about Heart for the House. Listen, we've created a Heart for the House team that we're not talking about as much today, but if you go online and you wanna watch the Vision Night, we talk about it at Vision Night, if you wanna be a part of a Heart for the House team, which isn't going to take a lot of your time, I promise you, and you want to find out more about that, then you can go to desperationchurch.tv/heartforthehouse and you'll see our Vision Night, and you can watch our Vision Night and find out more about how to be about on our Heart for the House team. Now listen, what we're asking is this, is that with our, starting December the 17th, with our Heart for the House stuff, we're asking that you would give your tithe, all right, like you normally do, but we're asking that you give just a little bit above your tithe. You know, we researched a lot of stuff, and my passion is, man, I do not want people to feel pressure. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to them. But man, it's amazing. You know, if this was just about Coleman, Alabama, let's talk about the building for a second. We'll talk about more. You'll probably hear this again next week. If this was just about the building in Coleman, Alabama, then we'd do a capital campaign and, you know, I'd be asking for pledges and go buy you a brick and we'll put your name on it, whatever. I don't know what you do, right? Whatever everybody else is. But this isn't about Coleman. This is about Jasper and Arab and the future places we're going to plant one day. And so we've got to do everything we can to accelerate where God's called us to start in North Alabama and reach the nations. And to be honest with you, I really believe this. I don't want pressure on anybody. Because here's the big, like I said last service, I may have already said it in here. If I have, just forgive me. I don't want people going to bed at night worried about having to tithe to the church. Because maybe your finances, something happened with your business, you start struggling a little bit and, you know, you're having to make a decision. Should I pay my JCPenney bill, or if they're still open, I don't even know if they are or not, or should I pay God? You know, like, oh God, I gotta, JCPenney is gonna take me away, you know, whatever. But you're freaking out. And listen, our passion is to get people out of debt. We don't want to put people in debt. And I don't want anything that the church does to make it feel like a bill. All right, but I do want you to trust God. I want you to walk next to God and trust him. And so here's what we're gonna do, is I'm gonna challenge everybody to give a little bit above your tithe. If everybody does a little, it does a lot, all right? Now for some of you, a little may be $100 extra a month. Some of you are like, boy, I wish I had that, bless God. I do too, I'm with you, brother. But there's people that can do even more than that. But there's other people in here that a little bit is just $10. But if everybody does a little, every single month, just a month, everybody does a little a month, it's amazing how much we can do. And here's what I need you to know also. I didn't say this last service and I hate that I missed it. The three areas, the Heart for the House lanes that you put your money in, 100% of what you put in will go to those places. I promise you, 100%, you can trust us, 100% is gonna go to those places. So if you give $100 a month to the building and campuses, 100% of that is gonna go to building and campuses for our locations. That's what's gonna happen with it, all right? And so, know that 100% is going, but 20%, you know, let's just play pretend like, all right? Let's just play pretend like we have between 2,000 and 2,500 people that come on any given Sunday, not Thanksgiving weekend, all right? Thanksgiving weekend this weekend, little low. Alabama lost yesterday. They're all home sulking. I wouldn't be here either, but I'm a pastor. I have to be here. So anyway, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Some of y'all mad at me. Get out of your spiritual mindset. Listen, and so here's the big picture is this. When we do a little, let's just play pretend like 2,000, 2,500 people, let's say we give $20 extra a month, not a week, a month. That'd be close to $40,000. That would be a building payment. Now, if anybody don't know much about buildings, buildings are stupid expensive, all right? And so, or that would be a translation of maybe the book of John plus some for people. That would pay for a year's salary for somebody to teach to facilitate our college. That's one month. If everybody just did $20, that'd be 1 month. I don't know if you understand how if we all bought into just doing a little bit, together we do a lot. And God's called us to do a lot. But he's just asking for a little extra. And so here's what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask you to pray about your sack of miracle, all right, your sacrificial miracle gift for the second week of December, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. I want you to pray about that. I want you to ask the Lord about it. Now listen, I hope this ain't too personal for you, but there are business people in the house that, you know, at the end of the year, maybe you're watching online, at the end of the year, you have to give to a nonprofit for the purpose of taxes. And I would just ask you to think about us. Think about your church. Partner with us. It's something that will last for eternity if that's you here today. There's also people here today that's never tithed before. God, I challenge you just to tithe. I just want to encourage you to tithe. I'm not even saying tithe 10%. I'm just saying do something. Just try it out. Give it a shot. See what God does with it. And then I'm asking people in the here just to give above your tithe. And I'm asking, the one thing I want to ask everybody here is to pray. Pray, grab your spouse. Today, when we finish up here in just a minute, maybe you start now, maybe you start praying now. God, what would you have me do for my church so that we can together move the kingdom of God? What would you have me do December the 10th? All right? A lot of you are saving up your tithe to put in December the 10th. Like, oh, I got a big tithe. But here, this is above your tithe. I want to challenge you. It's above your tithe. God's called us to do big things. And I don't understand it, but he uses finances to do it. And I'm telling you, it's for the purpose of building our faith. And so I want to challenge you with it. Ask the Lord. I promise you, he's not going to tell you to do nothing. He's going to tell you to do something. You know, I went to a family's house yesterday and watched some football, and there was a little girl there. I got the picture. I wish I'd have showed it to you guys because I made her take a picture. There's a little girl. She's 7 years old. Her name's Brittley. And she heard the vision night. She came to vision night. She heard us talking about these kids. And so she started. She got a little jar and wrapped a piece of construction paper on it. And in her handwriting, a seven-year-old handwriting, said, "For kids who can't eat." And basically is taking change and dropping it inside change inside her little jar so that she can give December the 10th. I'm sitting there thinking like, holy cow, the faith of a child. That's incredible. I got a picture. I wish I could show it to you. I'd hold my phone up, but I don't have it with me either. And you wouldn't see it either way. Anyway, so big picture is this. Because I said, girl, what are you? That's incredible. It just blew my mind. Blew my mind. So here's what I'm saying. If all of us do something, a little something, we can change the world together. And it's going to take us together, 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 together. Let's do it together, okay? God's called us to big things, I'm telling you. And God's already doing big things, but I'm telling you, he's calling for more, all right? In your own life personally and in our church together, all right? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Lord, I ask that God, that Father, if there's somebody here that's not a believer, that God, you would save their soul, change their life, break down walls, that God, you would do large things in their life. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for the faithful people in our church, God, who are just faithful to you. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would bless them, that you'd bless us, that you'd bless other people around us, God, because we live out Jesus. God, help us today not be inspired and just leave inspiration inside this building, but God, help us to have this prayer to be compelled to change. All of us, start with me, God. Change us from the inside out. God, may we not just live inspired, but may we live changed. God, do something for your glory in our lives. If you're here today with nobody looking around and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. And man, I need Jesus in my life. Or maybe you're watching online and you're thinking, man, I need Christ, I need Jesus. Well, listen, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that he was buried and came to life. You say, well, Andy, how do I give my life to Jesus? Well, the Bible says to believe in your heart that he died on the cross for your sins, that he took the wrath of God that we deserve, that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave on the third day. You say, man, that's me. I believe that God did all, that Jesus did all of that. I want to give my life to him. Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. So if to confess Jesus as Lord, we need to talk to him. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, well, let's talk to him. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. If you're at home watching right now, hey, talk to him right now. Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I give you my life. I turn from my sin. And Jesus, now I follow you. I give you all of me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for breaking me. Thank you for moving in my life. Thank you for drawing me to yourself. If you're here today with nobody looking around and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Christ, and I did today. Today I gave my life to Christ for the first time. If that's you and nobody looking around, would you just throw your hand up just so I know I have somebody here? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see you, my brother. Come on, he threw two hands up. Who else? Anybody else? Man, I just gave my life to Jesus. Anybody else? Fired up for you, boy. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hey, if you're here inside the service and you just gave your life to Christ, I want to challenge you. To my right, your left, go through these doors. Before you go through the sliding doors to go out to the parking lot, to your left is an info bar. We've got some people there with a smile on their face that want to give you some next steps in your walk with Jesus. So if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, if you gave your life to Christ, I want to challenge you to go there and let them walk you through your next steps. If you're online and you just gave your life to Jesus, hey, I want to challenge you. Go to desperationchurch.tv. On there, we're going to have a phone number on there that you can call. You need to call first thing in the morning. Somebody's going to be there to answer your call, and we're going to help you walk through your next steps, okay? So if you're watching online and you just gave your life to Christ, go to desperationchurch.tv. You can find online our phone number, and we're going to walk you through it, okay? Hey, listen, if you're here and you say, Andy, I want to be a part together of moving the kingdom of God, would you pray that God would use me to be a part of what God's doing? If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Are you here today? I love you. Appreciate you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the people in this church. Lord, I pray that we would do our part, that we would pray about what you've called us to do, and that, God, we would live out who you've called us to be. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless our church. God, move in mighty, mighty ways. Lord, we glorify you, we lift you up, and we praise you, Jesus, in your name.
Amen, amen. Come on, church, one more time. Let's give Jesus some praise in the place.
Good morning. I'm a school teacher. Good morning. That's what I need. If somebody's not throwing something at me or hollering at me, I don't really know how to react most days. Good morning. My name is Grant Nichols. I was born and raised in Hansville, Alabama. I attended Hansville High School. I would later go on. God would have a plan for me, and his plan would include Jennifer Odom Nichols, my wife. I don't know where I'd be without her today. He blessed me with a 12-year-old son at this point in time, John.